السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Brother, I requested that if we fill in the first of all, the masjid will very quickly fill up. It will make life easier for the people who are coming afterwards. So if brothers can just fill in the safs at the front. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has granted us the day of Eid after granting us the month of Ramadan which is already a great blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the day of Eid which is another blessing Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of the a'mal that we were able to do, whatever little a'mal we were able to do in the month of Ramadan. No doubt there would have been deficiencies in those a'mal. If we look closely at our a'mal, if we look over the top, just without going into detail, we will think, yes, alhamdulillah, I managed to do a lot. If we look in detail, then we will realize that number one, I could have done so much more than I did. Number two, even the amal that I did, if I look at them carefully, within them I will find deficiencies. That is not to say that we should become despondent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a method of making our deficient amal accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. In reality, something which is deficient shouldn't be accepted. If someone comes to you to purchase something from you and they bring a fake note, they give you that £20 note and you check it and you realize that it's not genuine, then you will never accept it. Something which is fake is not accepted. Something which is deficient is not accepted. Someone brings another note to you. It's a real note, but you realize that it's torn in half and the relevant half, which has the seal, etc., is not there. Again, you will say that, sorry, I can't accept this. Same goes for if you are going to purchase a product, but you are going to purchase a car. And you go there, you are told that this is the condition. It doesn't have any problems, etc. When you go there, then you come to know that it has this problem and it has that problem. So either you will reject it totally or you will say that I'm not ready to purchase it for this price. So if we look at it in reality, deficient amal shouldn't be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a method of making our deficient amal presentable in the court of Allah Ta'ala. What is that? That method is that after a person carries out an amal, he does a few things. The first thing that he does after carrying out an amal is that he worries about the acceptance of it. A person has carried out the amal, we are not saying that carry out the amal, then don't feel happy. No, deen doesn't. But deen does teach us that feel happy, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq. But at the same time, have this worry that I hope it is accepted. And as a result, make dua, when you lift your hands for dua after first salah, for the next few days, Allah accept the amal we did in Ramadan, Allah accept the amal we did in Ramadan. Having worry about the acceptance of amal is a sign that your amal will be accepted. Having worry about the acceptance of the amal is a sign that your amal is accepted. This is the first thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in light of the Quran, the hadith, the statements of the pious predecessors, we understand. The second point is that a person, he does istighfar. Istighfar for what? For the deficiencies that were carried out in his amal. Istighfar, you can say, it's the patching plaster. If today a few cracks, a few patches appear in this one, then if it's only a few, then we will say that, look, there is no point replacing the one. Just get some patching plaster and patch it up. So it is presentable. Our amal, which are not fit to be presented in the court of Allah Ta'ala, if we carry out istighfar with this in mind, that I am seeking forgiveness for what? For the deficiencies in my amal, then this will patch up those amal and make them presentable in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the third thing we should do, and that is exactly why the first point you mentioned was that worry about the acceptance of amal. So in our time, our mentality is often, especially in deeni matters, number one, unfortunately, it's a reality that we have, majority of us, we are very far from knowledge. We don't make a point of going to the ulama and learning regularly. So many a time we just look around and see what other people are doing and we copy it. So comes the day of Eid, everyone is saying Eid Mubarak, so we copy it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying Eid Mubarak. Feel free to say Eid Mubarak. We keep in the meaning in mind. Eid Mubarak is a dua. What is the dua? That may you have a blessed Eid. So say it and say it with that intention. Just like Assalamu Alaikum is a dua. That may peace, Allah Ta'ala send peace upon you. That means may Allah Ta'ala remove any problems from you. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what did we say? Worrying about amal is very, very important. So the day of Eid is a day of happiness. No worries. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, their mentality was made that the worry about the acceptance of amal is very important. So when they would meet, what did they say? Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. May Allah Ta'ala accept whatever we are able to do and whatever you are able to do. On the face of it, sounds like an ordinary sentence, but look at the mentality of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So that is the first thing. The second thing, we do istighfar. The next few days, whenever we remember our amal of Ramadan, feel happy, do istighfar as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in this world for a mission. On the face of it, extremely difficult mission. And within a very short span of time, 20, 23 years, he caused a revolution. Even those non-Muslims who have been given the ability to study the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with fairness, they have come to this conclusion as well. And the statements have been mentioned as well and have been recorded that this person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he caused a revolution that no one else has been able to cause. So in 23 years, very short time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caused a revolution. And at the end of that revolution, in the final part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَسْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ was revealed. And in that surah, first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that, you know, when you see people accepting Islam in droves, basically your mission is accepted. Then what do you need to do? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Carry out the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala with his hamd. So, subhanallah wa bihamdi. Or other words. And the other thing, wastaghfir, do istighfar. Now, if we look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's success, when we look at it, we would think there is absolutely no deficiency. Number one, in terms of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's effort, he left no stone unturned in carrying out his mission. Every possible difficulty we can think of, he carried it out to fulfill his mission. And if you look at the results as well, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, a group of over 100,000 people were prepared. in the 6th year of Hijrah. In Medina Munawwara, there were approximately 1,500, 2,000 Muslims. And from outside, a few people had accepted Islam, not a large amount. So we can say there weren't more than 5,000 Muslims. We can say that with a reasonable degree of confidence, 6th year. Fast forward to the 11th year, and there were 100,000 plus Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So we look at the effort, we look at the results, we don't see any deficiency. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is told as well that at the end of your mission, at the end of this great collection of amal that you have done, you also do istighfar. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was commanded to do istighfar, then after carrying out our amal, should we not do istighfar? So istighfar. And the third part is so shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have already mentioned this, we have already touched upon this. That the most important part of shukr is that a person in his amal, he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst on the topic of shukr, we should mention another thing. On the topic of acceptance of amal, a very great saint of the past, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say that a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted an amal of yours, no one knows for sure, but you want a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted an amal of yours? What is that sign? That sign is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on giving you tawfiq. That sign is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on giving you tawfiq. You were given the tawfiq in the month of Ramadan to perform salah with jama'ah. You want a sign that it is accepted? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on giving you the tawfiq. In the month of Ramadan, you are given the tawfiq to control your gaze, to control your ears, to control your tongue. You want a sign that those amal were accepted? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on giving you the tawfiq. In the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to open the Quran regularly, on a daily basis. You want a sign that it is accepted? The tawfiq carries on. But tawfiq will carry on when we show some desire to carry on those amal. If our mentality is, no, those amal were only for Ramadan, then how will tawfiq carry on? And we have discussed this time and time again in the month of Ramadan, that the most important amal, the most important tawfiq, is staying away from the disobedience of, staying away from wrong. If you have, Allah Ta'ala grants you the tawfiq to stay away from wrong, then you can think that alhamdulillah, I'm on the right track. Allah Ta'ala has given you the tawfiq to carry out a lot of amal. He's not giving you the tawfiq to stay away from wrong. Then you should have worry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, as far as I remember, mentioned the hadith that someone came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a gathering. Different things were mentioned, discussions back and forth. And someone mentioned two women to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe they were his neighbors, maybe they were lived in his locality. And he noticed quite a interesting contrast between the two. So he mentioned this first woman, and he gave a description of her, and the names don't come in the hadith. The description was that she performs a lot of salah, first salah and full salah as well. She gives a lot of charity, zakat, option charity as well. She fasts a lot as well, inside, outside the month of Ramadan. But she has an ill quality. What is that ill quality? She hurts people, specifically her neighbors, with her tongue. She hurts people with her tongue. So he mentioned all the good qualities that she has, all of these amal, and then she has this evil quality. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Hiya fil nar, she is in the fire of Jahannam. If we would have looked at all those good amal, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look at? Number one requisite, most important amal, is the disobedience of Allah. There, is it not there? That was the first woman. The second woman that was mentioned was the person described that she doesn't perform a lot of salah. She doesn't perform a lot of salah means, other than the first salah, there's not a lot of nafal salah in her life. Maybe here and there when she gets the opportunity. Not a lot of fasting other than compulsory. Not a lot of charity other than what is compulsory. But one part of her life is that she's very cautious in staying away from sin, and specifically that she controls her tongue and she doesn't hurt anyone, her neighbors or anyone else with her tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hiya fil Jannah." She is in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "She is in Jannah." Why? Because she didn't have all the optional amal. I'm not saying optional amal are not beneficial. Carry them out. But number one focus in our life must be that my life must be empty of the disobedience of Allah. And as long as we see disobedience of Allah in our life, we need to worry about it. Try to stay away from it. If necessary, take advice. Go to the ulama, go to the mashayikh. Every single sin a person can stay away from. There is no sin that a person cannot stay away from. If there was a sin which a person could not stay away from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said, it's still compulsory to stay away from it. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us it is compulsory to stay away from it, understand that it is possible for me to stay away from it. Maybe I'm not trying hard enough. Maybe I'm trying hard enough, but I need advice. There is methods that will help me and I'm not adopting those methods because I don't know those methods. So I need to go to the ulama, to the people of knowledge, to the mashayikh, to those who are experts in spirituality. And they will guide me how to stay away from that sin. So number one target in our life, especially on the day of Eid, but every day of our life, is that we stay away from the disobedience of Allah. I say especially on the day of Eid because how foolish would it be that in this world we are expressing happiness and at the same time we are gathering the means of unhappiness in the hereafter. That doesn't make sense. It's just like that person who is drinking, who is having alcohol, and he is drinking, he is enjoying himself a lot. And he's drinking, going over the limit. And as a result of going over the limit, well over the limit, he carries out so many wrong things. From a worldly point of view as well. He does this crime and that crime, like many people do. The next day his health is totally, his body is given away. So you will say that when he was drinking, then he was enjoying himself, but it was foolish enjoyment because he was gathering the means of unhappiness. In the same way, if we disobey Allah Ta'ala on the day of Eid, we are gathering the means of unhappiness. It doesn't make sense. It's foolish. So on the day of Eid, let us make sure of this even more. And there are many things which really can be discussed, but there is one thing that I specifically wish to mention because it is something which unfortunately is disappearing. It's one part of Deen which is disappearing from our lives. What is that part of Deen? That part of Deen is the command of Deen that in our homes we must have a certain level of segregation, a certain level of pardah. That mahram women and non-mahram men and non-mahram women must not mix. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, there are still homes where it happens. It's not something which is unachievable. But it's a part of Deen that even when we try to be religious, we become religious, it doesn't. Our mind doesn't even go there. And the reason I mentioning this specifically is because at times of happiness, we gather. Families gather together. And the times when we have the most enjoyment is when we're sitting there talking together. Talking, laughing, having food. And you can do all of these things. But these are exactly the times when this sin happens the most. When this sin happens the most. And look, if I tell you to make sure you control your eyes, if I tell you to make sure you perform your salah with jama'ah, make sure you perform the fajr salah, all of these also come. These require constant effort. These require constant effort. This sin of not having segregation in the home and segregation in our lives in general. What do I mean segregation in our lives in general? Our deen has told us that, okay, you can't control every environment. In reality, the desire of our deen is that in every single environment there is segregation. In work, there is segregation as well. Why is this? Because this keeps a person, number one, keeps a person away from so many sins. And number two, this quality of segregation is actually built within the nature of a person. What proof is there that it is built within the nature of people? The proof is that in Jannah there will be segregation. In Jannah there will be segregation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a hadith that he says that in Jannah a time will come when the males, he mentions the men, they will go and they will get the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. which will be the greatest blessing of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us that blessing. It's not something which can even be understood or described in this world. But what has come in the hadith, in hadith of Ibn Majah Sharif, which is mentioned, that when people get the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, then every other blessing of Jannah they will forget at that time. You know, all the other blessings of Jannah we hear, and then sometimes our mind goes into the world of imagination, and we still can't reach those, that in Jannah there will be this and there will be that. When a person gets the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time, he will forget every other blessing of Jannah. So they will get this opportunity. Then to cut a long story short, they will go and enter a marketplace. A marketplace. In that marketplace, there won't be buying and selling of items. In that marketplace, there will be acquisition of appearances. I'm not going into detail. It's quite an interesting collection of ahadith. That there will be a marketplace specifically to gain an appearance. So they will enter this marketplace. They will adjust their appearance as they wish. And then they will go home. When they will go home, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the wives will say to them, that mashallah, when you returned, you went, and then when you come back, you look so much more beautiful, so you look so much more handsome. And they will say the same thing to their wives. Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, commenting on this hadith, he says that look, when they went to see Allah Ta'ala, they went to the marketplace afterwards. Their wives weren't with them. In Jannah, there is no possibility of sin. Despite that, when they went to carry out these activities outside their homes of Jannah, their wives weren't with them. That is exactly why when they came back, then their wives expressed astonishment. So if we want to get to Jannah, then we need to make sure we carry out this amal of Jannah in this world as well. And like I said, it is not difficult. Don't worry about what other people will say. If we carry on worrying about what other people will say, then we won't get anywhere in life. In our worldly matters as well, when we decide we want to do something, we don't know, but we decide, I want to carry out this business. And we've researched and, you know, it's a step that I want to take. Or I want to move to this area. And some other people tell us that, oh no, don't do this. We ignore them. In worldly matters, when we want to carry out something, then we ignore other people. Why can't we do that in deen matters? I will end on this hadith. Nabi Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates. The hadith in Imam Tabarani has narrated this. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please the people. Whoever displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please the people. He feels that, no, I need to keep people happy. Or people will stay happy if I do this. But he cares about the displeasure of Allah ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said two things will happen. The first thing that will happen is that Allah ta'ala will become displeased with him. That is obvious. The second thing that will happen is that sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the hearts of those people, and those very people will become displeased with him. It may happen straight away. It may happen in the future. And at that time it is possible that he thinks it is for some other reason. No, it's that sin which he committed, which he carried out to please those very people, but he displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result of that is that a time will come down the line when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn those very people's hearts against him. That is the first sentence of the hadith. What is the second sentence of the hadith? That whoever displeases the people for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He displeases people for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understands that my Allah wants me to carry this out. This person doesn't like it. That person, maybe that family member, maybe this person. He displeases them. What will happen? The first thing that will happen is that Allah ta'ala will become pleased with him. In reality, he doesn't need anything more. But Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with you, what more do you need? When Ibn Abbas narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after that, that a time will come as well, that when those very people that he displeased, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their hearts and they will become happy with him. It's just that sacrifice at that time. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to stay away from every sin, and especially this one sin, on the day of Eid, and for our entire lives, so we can all gather in Jannah just like we are gathered here today. Ameen wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brother, I requested to make the service. Whilst we are making the service, we'll quickly go through the method of Eid Salah. We often forget because it only happens twice a year. So Eid Salah is two wajib rakats, unlike two ordinary rakats. But the difference is that in the first rakat there are three extra takbirs, and in the second rakat there are three extra takbirs. In the first rakat, we will begin the salah. We will read the thana, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. Then the imam will say Allahu Akbar three times. And each time the imam says Allahu Akbar, we raise our hands to our ears, and then we put them down. So first time, Allahu Akbar, raise your hands to the ears, put them at their sides. Second time, raise your hands to your ears, put them at your sides. The third time imam says Allahu Akbar, we raise our hands, but now we're going to read Surah Fatiha ahead. So the third time, after the Allahu Akbar, we won't put our hands to the sides, then we will fold our arms, just like we do in Salah. So three takbir will happen in the first rakat before Surah Fatiha. First two takbirs, we will put our hands to our sides after completing them. And the third takbir, we will fold our arms just like we normally do in salah. That is the first rakat. The rest of the first rakat will continue as normal. Second rakat will begin. Surah Fatiha will begin. A surah will be completed. And before going in ruku, we will have three extra takbirs. Before going in ruku. Again, the first time imam says takbir, we will raise our hands to our ears, put them to the sides. Second time, raise our Allahu Akbar, raise our hands to our ears, put them to the sides. Third time also, Allahu Akbar, raise our hands to our ears, put them to the sides. After those three takbirs, then the imam will say Allahu Akbar again and he will go into ruku. So three takbirs in the first rakat before Surah Fatiha, and three takbirs in the second rakat after Surah Fatiha, the surah before going into ruku. Brothers are requested to make sure that there are no gaps left in the service. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين
الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله After the Eid Salah, after the dua, khutbah takes place and listen to that khutbah. Remaining and listen to the khutbah is wajib, it is compulsory. So inshallah after the dua, khutbah will take place and everyone must also remain for that.
الله أكبر 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 الحمد لله الذي وفقنا لتكميل عدة رمضان ونكبره على ما هدانا لخلال الإسلام ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسائر الأنبياء والمرسلين سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد عانى انقضاء شهر الصبر ويوم الفطر لهما طاعات وأعمال منها صدقة الفطر فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صاع من بر أو قم أو قمح عن اثنين صغير أو كبير حر أو عبد ذكر أو أنثى وقد قال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر صاع من تمر أو صاع من شعير ومنها الصلاة والخطبة فقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج يوم الفطر والأضحى إلى المصلى فأول شيء يبدأ به الصلاة ثم ينصرف فيقوم مقابل الناس والناس جلوس على صفوفهم فيعظهم ويوصيهم ويأمرهم كذا جاء في الحديث فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم في الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته ورضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين وعن سائر الصحابة فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابك النجوم بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم اللهم لا تسلط عليهم من لا يخافهم ولا يرحمهم اللهم لا تسلط علينا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.